Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome everybody to our reading of Juz 13 of the Quran today. And so let's get started. Inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be carrying on with the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And we'll be finishing the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam quite quickly. And so just carrying on from where we left off, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam makes this very powerful statement right at the beginning of the Juz, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I don't exonerate myself. The nafs, it always calls to evil. It is a constant caller to evil, except for those upon whom my Lord has had mercy. Indeed, my Lord is forgiving, merciful. And so this is so Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in spite of his infallibility, the great prophet, his great innocence, reminding us of the duplicitous and cunning and evil nature of the nafs, the ego within, that waits for any opportunity to pounce, to strike, to nullify decades of effort in a moment. And he's telling us that we should never ever give in to the nafs, because the nafs will always be working. It's amara, not just amira, it's amara. It's constantly in a state of commanding us towards evil, towards ease, towards laziness, towards disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this verse becomes quite symbolic and central in the notion of what are the kinds of souls. One of the souls is called the Ammara, the nafs al-Ammara, that the ulama of tasawwuf later picked up. Then we have the king asking for Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he hears of his great understanding of dreams. And once Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam comes and he puts forward the interpretation of the dream, that is mentioned at the end of Juz 12, the king wants him for himself. And then Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. Place me as a treasurer over the treasures of the earth. Give me the power over the central treasury of the Egyptian empire. And this, the ulama say, is an evidence for that sometimes you can put yourself forward for political leadership if you know that you're the best person for the job, and that the alternative is disastrous. And so Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam takes over. But the two qualities by which he demarcates himself and defines himself as a good political administrator are Hafiz Alim. He protects. He's somebody who will protect the resources of the state, the interests of the people, the interests of the community. And he's somebody who has immense knowledge. He knows what is best for the community. He knows the steps, the strategy that the community will need to take. And thus Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, after this tumultuous series of events, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, he is now given some sort of strong position of authority upon the earth and engulfed in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this point, the brothers of Yusuf now return. They come back to they come to Egypt. He recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And so they're asking, because now a drought or famine has set in, they're asking for some sort of supplies. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, bring your brother. And then he's told them, if you don't bring the brother to me, then you're not going to get the supplies. Because he wants to see Binyamin alayhi salam. And so the brothers are a bit nervous. Maybe our father won't let us bring him because of what their reputation with what they did with Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam does a goodwill gesture by placing their supplies and belongings back into their steed. So when they go back, they realize that the king, the minister, has done a goodness to them, and they ask that Sayyidina Yusuf, that Sayyidina Binyamin be sent with them. But Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is quite anxious. He doesn't want to really do this, understandably. But they find that their wealth has been returned to them, and they say, look, this is, you know, this good man, we have good faith in him, he's done a goodness to us, so we can repay this by bringing the favor that he has asked, that he wants all of the brothers present. And then he says, I will not bring him until you guarantee to me, I will not allow you to bring him until you guarantee to me that he will be protected. And then he tells them to enter from multiple doors. Once they enter, he takes the brother, he takes Sayyidina Binyamin in, and he tells him that I am your brother, and he reveals himself as Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What an incredible moment. These two beloved brothers, after years of separation, have this realization that they are once together again. And then he places the drinking goblet of the king in the ride of one of the brothers, and the announcement is made that that has been stolen and that they have to return because the goblet of the king has been stolen, and whosoever And then there will be a punishment for whosoever. قَالُوا فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُ كَاذِبِينَ. They ask, what is the punishment? If people are found, because they, everybody's saying they're innocent, he says, قَالُوا جَزَاؤُهُ مَا وُجِدَ فِي رَحْلِي فَهُوَ جَزَاؤُهُ. He will be the punishment, like he will be in prison. And that is how we deal with the transgressors. And suddenly it's found in the ride of Sayyidina Ibn Yamin. And then the brothers say this statement. They say, oh, if he is stolen, then his brother stole before him. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam hides his disdain because they're talking about him. And they sort of say, no, let him go, because our father's very old. He loves this brother a lot. Let one of us take his place. And the command is given that can never happen. And so one of the older brothers also stays behind just to keep on going. And Sayyidina Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam at this point has lost two of his sons. And now he's become very old and he's become very sad and he's become blind from sadness. He cried so much that he lost his sight. And they're telling him, you keep going, you know, you keep mentioning Yusuf until you're going to end up destroying yourself in the grief of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he says a very famous statement, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَلِمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I only complain of all of my struggle and my sadness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I know things about from Allah that you do not know. And then he tells them to go and seek Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his brother, and do not despair from the mercy of Allah, because whoever despairs, nobody despairs except the disbelievers. And then they come complaining again. They're saying, look, we're very hungry, we haven't got the food, we need everything. And at this point, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, do you know what you did to Yusuf and his brother? And at that point, they have a realization that this is Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. That Allah, and he says, Allah has blessed us. And whosoever is God conscious and patient, then Allah does not waste the reward of the good doers. And then they are in a state of immense remorse, and Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says the famous statement that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam will repeat at the Fath Mecca, قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْيَوْمِ. Today there is no blame upon you. What a moment of clemency. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah has forgiven all of you. هُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِيمِينَ. And then he says, take my shirt. And there's some significance to the shirt of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and place it upon my father, and his eyes will return to their normal sight. And Sayyidina Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, and they're ringing it, he says, إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفْ. I can smell Yusuf. And then his eyesight comes back, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the brothers are in this incredible state of remorse. They're asking their father to seek forgiveness for them. And ultimately, Sayyidina, all of the family returns to Egypt. And Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam places his parents on a throne. And everybody falls into sajda to him. And obviously this is where a time when sajda was permissible to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for various reasons. Though it's not shirk to prostrate to anyone other than Allah, but it is shirk to do it with the belief that that person has independent ability or is a necessary existence, etc., etc., etc. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is reminiscing about all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for him, that he allowed him to escape from the prison, and that he gave him this power and dominion and authority, and he taught him the interpretation of the dreams. And ultimately everything he attributes as, he's just thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an immense moment of just gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he makes the famous dua that Allah allow me to die as a Muslim, and allow me to meet with the pious, the salihin. And that Allah, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, these are the stories we tell you. These are the stories of the unseen that we relay to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the surah with just a discussion about the nature of prophets. You know, this is the prophets that have come before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent many signs. Most people reject these signs. They will be encompassed with the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come suddenly. This is the way, this is my way, the way that I call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with foresight, and those that follow me, glory be to God. I am not one of the polytheists. And that's the surah of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam finishes. It finishes with the verse that in the stories of these prophets there are signs, ibra, heed, take notice for the people of intellect. These are not stories made up, these are affirmations of that which has preceded, of the revelations that have come before, and giving more information or expanding on everything, and guidance and mercy for those who believe. And so this is one of the incredible stories. Everybody should read the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. I do recommend Ustaz Nu'man Ali Khan and Sheikh Dr. Suhaib Saeed have a very nice new translation of the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, where they inject a lot of the linguistic nuances of the Quran, the Arabic, into their translation, and it is a beautiful translation. So I recommend people have a look at that when they get a chance, inshallah ta'ala. I think it will be incredibly beneficial. And then we come to Surah Al-Ra'd. Now, Surah Al-Ra'd is a short surah, and suddenly it's just interspersed. Like you have these long, long surahs, and suddenly the story, Surah Al-Ra'd, the Surah of Thunder, comes in the middle. And it's a lot of it is about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a Madani surah, nevertheless, but it talks a lot about the signs, the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. So we'll go through it briefly, and then we'll move on to the final story, the surah of our session today, which is the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, or the surah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, though the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is not the only thing mentioned within. And so this surah starts, and it literally just starts with the signs. Divine power, the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, the heavens that have been uplifted without any support, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken dominion over his throne, that he has control over the sun and the moon. Everything works according to his, he has ordained these the time and the structures that they all move in. The universe is under his control, all of his signs. But you have to have conviction in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The world, the natural universe is just signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is a book of signs. The world is a book of signs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest of signs. This is, you have to take heed of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. You have to really, to understand the Quran, to understand a surah like Surah Al-Ra'd, you have to spend time in nature. We can't be in this sort of unnatural enclosed cage that we've been placed in, where we don't have sunlight, we're like vampires living these very sort of nocturnal lives. You have to be out and about. Fasiru fil ard, go travel the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Go see the stars and the moon, and go see places where they don't have light pollution and you can actually see the stars. Go to places, climb mountains, do all of these things. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the majesty of the earth, the majesty of the heavens, the power of water, these are things that resonate with you because you understand them. Go study their science. But really, to be in their presence is where you find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the things he would love is just to watch water flow. The Nahrun Jari, just the river as it used to flow, was something that brought happiness to the heart of the Messenger of God sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loved the color green because green is the color of nature. And so there's something about spending time in the presence of nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the earth, the mountains, the rivers, the fruit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, the natural universe that he has created, and grapes, and all these things, and all of them coming from one source of water. And all of this, really, the sign of Allah's creation is a sign of his power, and the fact that he will resurrect everything. إِذَا كُنَّتْ أَيْنَا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. They don't believe that everything will come back again. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that through these signs, you recognize that the universe as it was created the first time, to create from nothing is much more difficult than to create from something that has existed before. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, more just the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge. There's this incredible passage from verse 7 onwards about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what is, he knows about what is in the wombs of the animals. Everything is known to him, but to the nth degree, he knows. That's like one of these design arguments for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this fine-tuning argument that everything is decreed to the lowest level, like to the minute levels, everything has been ascertained. And if it was off slightly, the universe itself would be destroyed. Knower of the unseen and the reality, the shahada, the ghaib and the shahada, the seen and the unseen, al-kabir al-muta'al. He hears everything, he sees everything, he knows everything. He has angels who are protectors, who are watching over every single affair. He does not change the affair of a people until they change themselves, but he knows what is happening. He shows you the thunder and to give you fear and to bring rain, and the lightning, and then the thunder comes, and the thunder is the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the angels are making happen. And all of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thunder and the lightning are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's calling for you. And ultimately, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَلِلَّهِ يَشْهُدُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا وَظِلَالُهُمْ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ. That everything in the universe is in prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either by choice, which is the human being, or by coercion. And so it's up to you. At some point you will have to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The human being, if he doesn't prostrate by choice, at some point he will prostrate by coercion, by force. And that prostration might not be meaningful, but he will be forced to do it at that point. Whereas you should maybe prostrate now while you have the chance. And their shadows are prostrating, and the universe is all in prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we just move a bit quicker, more signs, it's just loads of signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how can the blind and the one who sees be the same? You know, not everybody is able to see the signs, because there's people who walk around with blind, they're blind. He reveals the water, there's so much about water, fire, the elements. The ulama always talk about there's something about the four elements, like water, fire, earth, and air. And then the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about there's some people who accept the signs, and there's those who reject them. And even if they were to give the universe in exchange for their punishment, they will not be protected. They are going to enter the fire of hell. And so you have to be people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from verse 18 onwards, you have to, there are people who know that everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals is true. And there are those who are blind, who reject everything. And so you have to be people who are true to the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not break their vows. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them to join, they join, in terms of ties and all of these other things. And they fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the qualities of those who are able to see the signs. Those who are patient, seeking the countenance of their Lord, who establish the prayer and the spend from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them in secret and in open. And they return a goodness with a goodness. And these are people, for them, their end affair will be the garden of paradise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the garden that they will enter, and there's from their ancestors and their progeny, those who were righteous will also enter, and the angels will enter from every single door, and they will give salam to them. And salam for what? For all the patience, all the endurance that you had. Ya Ahl Ghazza, you will be rewarded for all of the patience you showed in the face of incredible oppression. And then there are those people on the other side who do the opposite. They spread corruption in the earth, and they break all the covenants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they deny all of his commandments. They have la'na, and for them is the most horrific of abodes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rizq to whoever he wants. And there are those who just fall in love with the dunya, and the dunya is nothing except just a paltry belonging. It's nothing. It's just a moment of happiness. It's mata', you know, tamattu', you have happiness and then it's gone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks more about people of signs. And this is where the surah starts to finish. It's a very short surah. And that's why we spend a lot of time just reading the surah. We're just reading the surah. We're not going through verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the kuffar, the disbelievers who ask for signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the signs come, they reject them. So there are people who Allah misguides, who he wants, and he guides whoever who turns to him. You have to be constantly turning to him. And one of the things the ulama mentioned is that from turning to him is to turn to his signs. To look for him in his signs is turning to him again and again. And those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept the signs, they will enter the garden and have a righteous entrance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Qur'an and the power of the Qur'an, that if the Qur'an was, that it has the power really to move mountains and bring and do incredible things to the earth and cause the dead to speak, but the people have not been able to see the power of the Qur'an. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives solace to the Messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the people who rejected the prophets before. And this is now when we come to the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the garden of paradise and those who have been given the book, and they become happy, and then they reject the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this incredible book. And the last rukuh just talks about the nature of prophets. All the prophets came with their signs. Yes, and it's just about the makr of the people before. And there are people who say that you are not a prophet, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices as a witness between you and them, and those who have knowledge of the book. And so this is just Surah Ra'd. It's a surah. If you read it properly, it's just a surah of signs. It's a sign. It collates all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, existence, knowledge, all of the divine attributes, but also is a signs of those people who have the ability to actually take heed of these signs. And so it's a very beautiful surah that just comes interspersed between Surah Yusuf and Surah Ibrahim. And the next surah, very quickly, we will look at Surah Ibrahim. Surah Ibrahim starts with this idea, the theme of Samakki Surah, and it starts with this idea of darkness to light. It's a very open, like right at the beginning, this is a very, it's just a little theme that comes in at the beginning, that everything is about darkness to light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes certain people and they're in a state of darkness, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the revelation is the light. And anything that is not revelation, Shaykh Suhail Hanif was saying yesterday, is darkness. So you have to go looking for the light. And it's not hard to find the light, because if you're in darkness and there's a light, you can clearly see the light. Like it's a dark room and suddenly there's a little light. You can just see that there's a light, and you just sort of gravitate towards it. And that's how the believer has to be. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nature of prophets, that every single prophet was sent with the tongue of his people. The ability to speak to them in their language, to be in a way that they understand, to be socially compatible with them, at least in goodness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the stories of the prophets of old. And he starts with the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, very briefly about, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you from the Pharaoh and he was slaughtering your children and keeping alive your women. And that you have to be grateful for all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown. That وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ, your Lord announced that if you are grateful, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will surely give you more. وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ, and if you reject, then indeed my punishment is incredibly severe. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about, have they not seen the prophets of old? This is verse 9. Qawm Nuh, Wa'ad, Wa'thamud, and those that came after them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And they came with signs, and the people rejected them by putting their hands in their mouths and saying, we disbelieve in all that you have been sent with. And we have doubts, these old doubts. وَإِنَّا لَفِي شَكِّ مِمَّا تَدْعُونَنَا إِلَيْهِ مُرِيبٍ. We're murib, and we have shak in all of this. This is incredible doubt that they're talking about. We're in this doubt, we're surrounded by doubt in everything that you say. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how can there be doubt? Do you doubt? The prophets used to say to them, is there doubt in the creator of the heavens and the earth? أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكْ. In Allah is there doubt. That's the first premise. Divine existence predicates everything else. For anything else to ever make sense, you have to have divine existence. And so it's saying, how can you reject فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the creator of the heavens and the earth? He calls you so that he may forgive you from your sins and delays for you until the appointed time. And then they say, no, we don't believe. You're all human beings. We want angels, or we want these incredible beings to be our... And the prophets were incredible beings, but they didn't accept them. And so this is their rejection of the prophets of old. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told that he has to be patient with the difficulty that they are causing him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what they used to talk about, the excuses they used to make, we follow our forefathers. Then there's this very nice parable that comes in about the people who disbelieve. Their actions are just like ashes. And when the wind blows, and the blowing of the wind on a stormy day, all of their deeds are meaningless. This is incredible, because we have sometimes in the modern world this notion that, oh yeah, so-and-so died. I don't know, like some famous person or the queen or something. And people are like, oh, but will she enter the garden of paradise? كَفَرُ بِرَبِّهِمْ. If she rejected her Lord, then her actions are meaningless. All the goodness they do, they did it for other than Allah, then they will meet, their reward is other than Allah. And so they can't have the garden of paradise. It's not for them to take. I remember a very dear friend of mine, Sheikh Zishan Chaudhry, mentioned about Norman Finkelstein maybe. If he doesn't accept Islam, because he says, Norman Finkelstein says, every day I wake up and do all this stuff for Palestine, and my reward is the happiness I bring to the people, like the support of, you know, the gratitude of the Palestinians. That's his reward. You know, he didn't do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him and enter him to the Garden of Paradise and give him immense reward for all of the effort that he has made to defend the Palestinian cause. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the promise of the devil, that once all the affair is settled, it's an incredible passage that people could read about the Day of Judgment. Once everything is settled, the shaitan will say, Allah promised you a promise of truth, and I promised you, and I'm a liar. I was a liar all along. I have no power. I had no power to do anything. I couldn't convince you. I just called you, and you somehow were stupid enough to listen. So don't blame me, blame yourselves. You acquiesce to me. I have no power over you, and you have no power over me. And I reject everything that you attribute to me. This sermon, they say, is the sermon of the shaitan on the Day of Judgment. And all the good people will be entered into the Garden of Paradise. The evil people will enter the fire of hell, because they acquiesce to the devil, who has no real power. It's all an illusion, the illusion of devilish power. Like, people believe the Illuminati and all of these people control the universe. Nobody controls the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls the universe. And the people of God, if they are true to the message and work for it, they will also be given dominion over the earth in a way that befits belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have you not seen those who strike a similitude of the good word, which is like a good tree? Its roots are firm, and its peripherals, or its branches, stretch into the heavens. And it gives, and it's very generous. It's a giving tree. And these are signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And then you have other trees, which are the evil word, is like an evil tree. That's it's just literally just lying on top of the earth, and it has no stability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives thabat, strength and stability, to those who believe with a strong word in this life and in the hereafter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, and we'll just try to finish this off because we're coming to the end of the juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about people who reject the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we just come forward a little bit, then yes. So here we have verse 35, the last two rukus of this surah, of this juz. The first, the second to last, the penultimate one speaks about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Finally, because this is he's the topic of the surah, and the surah is named after him. He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Mecca a sanctuary and to protect it and his children from worshipping idols, and that he, many people have been misguided. So whosoever follows me, then he's from me. Then whosoever disobeys me, then indeed you are the forgiving, the merciful. And then he says, I have placed my family in this noble sanctuary, so they may establish the prayer. So make the hearts of people gravitate towards them and give them loads of fruit, and so that they may be grateful. You know everything, Ya Allah. And he's this incredible dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And all praise to Allah who has given me in my old age Ismail and Ishaq. My Lord indeed listens to the du'as. And he says, oh my Lord, make me one of those who establishes the prayer. And my progeny, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Abraham, the father of nations. His concern was always about those nations to come. Rabbana taqabbal du'a, oh my Lord, accept my du'a. Rabbana ghfirli, oh my Lord, accept my, forgive me and my children and the believers until the day, on the day that the accounting will be established. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafil. This, Allah is not unaware of all of these realities. And this is sort of the closing of the surah, the juz, that Allah is not unaware of what the evildoers are doing. They are just being delayed for a day in which the eyes will see. So Israel will face its just reward on that day and warn the people of a punishment of that day. And they have been delayed. They will ask that, give us more time, but there is no more time because that is the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Don't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ever go against his promise, nor his prophets. Indeed, Allah is the invincible, the one who establishes vengeance. The day, and then he speaks about the day of judgment as a close of the surah, that everything will be transformed. The universe will turn upside down for the day of judgment, and you will see, the closing of the surah speaks about the punishments that are going to be meted to the evildoers on the day of judgment, that they'll be chained together and that they will have to wear, I think it's tar, I think that's how they translate it, and their faces will be doused or veiled in fire, and all of them will get what they deserved. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quick in his judgment. And this is the closing of the Surah Ibrahim. And then we start Surah Al-Hijr, which we will look at tomorrow, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq. And so just a quick flying through the lessons. Everything, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's story, is that the divine will always manifest and that everything will be good. Surah Al-Ra'd speaks about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the doubts of the mushrikun. And then we have promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Ibrahim. The promises are in Surah Ibrahim, the parables and Surah Al-Ra'd. And then finally the Kaaba is mentioned as the base of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his concern for the progeny to come. And then our verse that we look at today is a verse from Surah Yusuf, which I feel like is, I've brought the wrong juz maybe by accident. But this is, I'll go through this anyways because it's a beautiful verse that Sayyidina, that Zulaykha attempted to seduce Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. She attempted to seduce the one who was in her house against his will. She tried to steal his existence from himself, is one way that the ulama explained this. And so when you're in this position, maybe in the month of Ramadan, you have this opportunity to commit haram and you want to control yourself, and maybe the fast isn't sufficing because your fast is not good enough because of you. You've done something to nullify or to weaken your fast. At that point, the doors may be locked. There's no escape. She's inviting you. At that point, what your call must be is the call of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Qala ma'adhallah, a'udhu ma'adhallah. I seek refuge in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, he is my Lord. Either he's speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the goodness that has been done to him in the dunya. He's saying that I have been looked after by either of these two lords, either the Lord of the dunya, a'udhu billah, not Lord of the dunya, but my Lord in the dunya, which is his master, the Potiphar in Egypt, or my Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately, who is the cause of all goodness to me. And he says the oppressors will never be successful, so I can't cave in. And so whenever you find yourself in tribulation, you see or feel like you're about to fall into sin, you have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, and remember all the goodness done to you. Find reasons to not fall into that sin, and then remember that ultimately those who oppress, transgress against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be successful. جزاك الله خير، إن شاء الله. We'll see you tomorrow. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.